How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. And again, as always, you can find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break. And I would hope that you guys are using the promo code LOLakers. Do you buy tickets to debates, or is that just something that really fortunate people get to go?
I think you have to wait in line. I don't think that you buy tickets to debates.
Oh. Well, just in case, if you do have to buy a ticket, use SeatGeek to do so.
Lakers preseason coming up as well. You can still get those tickets, I'm sure. They're going to have games at Honda Center. They have one in San Diego, although usually the San Diego one sells out really quick. But I'm sure that you can still get tickets for the ones in Los Angeles. And so that fits even better with the promo code LOLakers. You can actually, we're back. The season's back. You can use LOLakers to buy actual Lakers tickets and LOL with your friends. And maybe you won't laugh at them. Maybe they're going to be respectable this year. It kind of sounds like it, right?
Sure. That was a good save. You get us away from politics. That was well done.
You're welcome. I'm basically my job here, I've been assigned, is like keep Anthony from getting us in trouble.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this. It's a game everybody's been waiting for. We knew it was going to be good when we signed off last night. Today, based on given what time you guys are listening to the show. But we knew it was going to be fun. We knew some shade was going to be thrown. Let's go ahead and jump into it. We are playing.
Oh, we're going right to the shade. Okay.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Shade. And then we'll touch on stuff as we go along in the game.
Yeah, we had some other takeaways from Media Day, but all right, we'll get right into the shade. I'm glad that you definitely didn't tell me the opposite before we started recording.
What?
Okay, how this is going to work for any new listeners that we have or anyone that didn't listen to the last couple shows, first of all, just subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review. You can get all of the shows there, and that way you won't have to miss any. But if you did miss any, we've been playing a game called 50 Shades of Shade, where we grade the amount of shade thrown at a certain Lakers former head coach that we aren't allowed to say his name. Otherwise, one of us gets to send a tweet from the other one's account. And so we figured there would be plenty of that at Lakers Media Day, and there definitely was. So I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to go. I'll start reading these. So, Anthony, first up, we had Jordan Clarkson talking about Luke Walton. And so he was asked about Luke, and he said he really changed the vibe for us, made the game fun, as well as teaching us a lot as well.
I think this one of the other stuff that I heard today was on, you know, you really kind of have to dig for it. I think part of this, and this is something I was thinking about as I was, you know, as we were getting ready for the show today. Part of, you know, the amount of shade that we see in these things is because we have kind of a confirmation bias. We're hoping that they're saying something negative about the last guy.
Speak for yourself.
But I think in some cases it doesn't take as much hoping and looking for it as in others. In this one, yes, on one hand he's saying that, you know, this is what the new administration offers, and I think it takes another logical leap to hope that it's not what the last one offered. So I
think I'll give it like
a 20.
I get that, like, they're going to say good things about the new head coach that they haven't played an actual game yet for, because that's just, I mean, that's just what time of year it is. That's what teams do at this time of year. Everyone's undefeated. Everyone thinks that they're going to make a playoff run, except the Sixers. But like every other team, you know, there's just positivity in the building, and they all think every player is going to play 48 minutes a game and be able to make an impact and do a bunch of great stuff. So, of course, you know, that's just kind of the nature of it. Of course, they're going to praise. But I do feel like it's almost damning by the fact that he would feel the need to praise that the coach is teaching them. And that he's changed the vibe. The implication, I think, from that is that the vibe was not good before, which I think the team would, I guess they'd probably freely admit they were the second worst team in the league last year. Mm-hmm. But that does at least have something to do with the prior administration, I'd imagine.
Right, right. And yeah, I do think there's always going to be, I think the conditions were so hellish last year under the last guy that you know, there's always going to be, and this is why this is probably going to be a recurring segment every so often. I don't think we need to beat a dead horse here, you know, with it as the year goes on. But,
or a fired, you know, fired.
Somehow that sounds more violent than a dead horse. Like, anywho. But yeah, I think with this one, like, I'd only set it at a 20 because... Yeah, the new coaches are showing them stuff that the last guy didn't, and because of that, and I do think also this is generally the type of situation where a lot of the involved players are going to improve a bunch anyway. You know, D'Angelo Russell isn't going to be a rookie again. Same goes for Larry Nance Jr. Yeah, same goes for Larry Nance Jr. Julius Randle is in his third year, but technically it's his second one, right? And Jordan Clarkson has already taken, you know, a couple of steps forward in his development already, and that's going to continue. And I think it's pretty easy to confluate the... Is that a word? I hope that's a word, but...
That's not a word.
Oh, man. Anywho. But I think it's a correlate, not necessarily correctly, but there's going to be a correlation between improvement that's going to happen naturally under a new administration with... Yeah, the last guy sucked, and that's kind of what I hear on this quote. What did you give it out of 50?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think you talked me down on it. I think you actually made some good points. I probably I
sound
I think I was
surprised.
Gonna say about 30.
You actually made good points. What?
Well, I mean, that's why we have a podcast, right? It's because usually we vehemently disagree with each other on everything. including what time we should record or whether or not we should keep recorded interviews that we did with Kobe Carl. And or I guess my computer disagreed with us on that one. But so anyway, so I'll knock it down to about a 20, I guess. I think I'm probably with you on this one.
All right. What's the next one?
Okay. So, well, next one is Julius Randle. And he said he was talking about Walton. As a coach, he has all the belief in you in the world. He wants to see you succeed every day. Now, that you could see that one of two ways, right? It's either really faint, like, praise for Walton, or the fact that he feels like that baseline expectation is like glowing praise is like what does that say about the last guy? He wants you to succeed every day. Right. As opposed to some days or never.
Well, I'll put it like this. This one's a lot more glaring. Like, this one's up in the 40s, I think, for me.
Oh, okay.
And here's why. Remember when Byron benched? Oh, no. Dang it.
Yes! All right, this is going to be this day just got better.
All right, well, can't wait for that tweet. But remember when the last guy benched Russell and Randle, and it was like for a prolonged stretch of games, and then even when Randle would go in there and play with energy, or Tarik Black would go in there and play with energy, and that was really the best thing that Black offered.
No, remember he lacked energy. Remember, he didn't have enough.
That's what I meant. Was that like those guys would do good things on the court, and there were moments where I legitimately thought to myself that the other guy was thinking to himself, God, man, I'm sitting here trying to set this tone of being an old hard ass, and here they are proving me wrong every step of the way. And I do think in some of those cases, the kids legitimately felt like Byron didn't want them to succeed. Do I do it twice, or is it?
Yeah, that's two.
That's two tweets? Crap. All right. But there were moments where the kids legitimately didn't think that they wanted, that he wanted them to succeed. And that has to be wearing, right? So even if he's not meaning to send shade here, the subconscious desire to feel like the guy that's coaching you actually wants you to play well says just gives away tons of what's going on underneath the surface. So I'd say this is upwards of like a 40 to 45.
I'd probably go like 37-ish. I guess like between a 35 and a 40, 37, 38. I think just because, I mean, in context, I mean, he was trying to praise Luke, but I just think that it's hilarious that like, that's like the great praise that he has for him is that his coach believes in him and wants him to succeed. And like, that's what he's excited about. And that's just awesome.
And then here's the other thing too, with all of these quotes, and this is something that, from a PR standpoint, this is something that can't go unnoticed. This is media day. They've had weeks to prepare for this kind of thing. They've spent time thinking about these answers. They've been coached in a lot of cases on these answers from the PR team. And
does the PR team also believe in them and want them to succeed every day?
Well, oftentimes some of these answers get run by the PR team, the public relations team. And now some
well,
of these,
I would
no,
imagine.
I'm saying oftentimes there are some questions that fall through the cracks or some that just aren't brought up, and there are some that just happen organically in the midst of a conversation. And that could be what this is. But to a certain extent, I would say that it's a better chance that it wasn't. That Julius Randle, I've honestly, because I've been fined twice this show, I'm scared to say anybody's name. So that's actually going on. But because of the amount of time that the players have had to prepare for this, I would say there's a better chance than not that Julius thought about this answer in advance. And in that case, that's a lot of shade.
That's true. They probably, to a degree, I would imagine it's like debate prep where they have certain talking points that they definitely want to get out there.
Get away from politics. Get away from politics. What are you doing?
All right. So use the promo code LO Lakers to go to a Laker game. Yeah. So I think it's like a 37 or a 38. I'd go with that.
All right.
We're not too far off.
Nah, it's not too bad. All right. Next
one. All right. So D'Angelo Russell on the Lakers kind of breakfast club, them coming in and working early in the morning. So he was asked about this. And so he said, last year, .. it was almost like you had to. That was the tradition, said Russell. This year we wanted to.
Oh, man. That's up there with Randall's, right? That's at least with Randall's.
To some degree, you could also, if just to play devil's advocate here, you could flip that back around on Russell and be like, oh, you should have wanted to come into the gym every single day if you're the type of guy that replies to his Twitter account or Instagram or whatever. But I think we're going to pretty much draw the same conclusion about what's really behind this.
If that is the case, and there are people who have already done that, I would imagine. If you are doing that, just don't jump in my mentions, please. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. I don't ask much, but just don't disagree with
Anthony
us.
Anthony really doesn't want to be told to go to the gym, guys.
I don't. This is I really don't. All right. So, and the other thing I was going to bring up before I give it a true score is that I think with Russell more than any other player on the roster, we're going to look and try to dig up this kind of shade, right? Because of everything that went on, because of at the rookie sophomore game, Clarkson reminding him, hey, don't say anything crazy, you know?
Oh, my. Oh, man, I wish we had that segment then. That was the best thing ever.
But because of all that has gone on between Russell and the last guy, we're going to try to find the stuff more than with any other player. With all of that said, we're doing that partially for a reason, right? We're doing that because you look at the guy. It was kind of funny. I was going to send out a tweet, or I wound up sending out a tweet that was of James's face when Russell sat down next to him, and James kind of looked super uneasy, right? Where he's just kind of like, you know? And I wound up tweeting it from the standpoint of, when you realize the amount of crap that you spewed to help your boy out, and then the kid sits next to you, right? I was originally going to send that out because Russell gave James this really funny look. And if you go look at the original tweet, there's this really funny look. And I was going to originally tweet out, when you sit next to a dude who talked crap on you all year, whose boy you got fired. And he kind of had that look on him like, sucker, you know? When he sat down, and he shows his emotions really easily. It's not really hard to read his face very often. So with all of this said, and I went on for way too long on this topic,
Anthony explains what he tweeted and what he almost tweeted. New segment.
In case you guys are interested in what goes on behind the scenes.
Anthony, Twitter 101 with Anthony.
Don't take Twitter 101 from me. Don't do that.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't do that. But with all of that said, I'd say I'd give this about like a 43 to as high as like a 47, because basically admitting that you didn't want to play hard for the last guy is as extreme as it's going to get.
Yeah, I'm with you. To say that you didn't this year, the reason that you're coming in is because you want to, that is a pretty direct, like, some of these we're talking about, it's damning with faint praise, basically. This one, he's directly tying it back to the year before, so I'm with you on the score there.
Can we just have a quick side note on this whole Breakfast Club thing? Because we had a couple tweets back and forth making fun of their not having seen the Breakfast Club, yet calling their little group the Breakfast Club. Like, what other dumb little...
That might have been Tim DeFrancesco that started that. But yeah, let's laugh at these millennials for having never seen the Breakfast Club. I've never seen the Breakfast Club.
I don't even mean it from that point. It's like... That's like you and I naming our show the Popcorn Machine and saying, no, we've never even heard of the Lakers' own podcast.
Well, that would also be plagiarism, so.
Right, or if
like
we were
copyright
to say...
infringement. But yeah, like, yeah. If you and I wanted to get better at podcasting, so we started having someone file a report to us, and they called it the BS report.
Right.
And we're like, oh, that's clever. Like after Bill Simmons' podcast, and they're like, wait, what? Bill Simmons has a podcast?
Who's that? Who's Bill Simmons? Who's that guy?
Yeah, it would be weird. Yeah, I get, but yeah, it was funny. That was like the recurring theme of the day. They would get asked about the Breakfast Club, and you could tell that Chris McGee had put a lot of thought into these questions about which player is which character in the movie.
Who's the princess?
And like every single player walked up there and had no idea what any of these characters were.
I really wish one of the players would have just said, because Geeter even led Russell along and said, like, who was the prima donna of the group? I wish Russell would have just
said,
like,
answer. That was funny. I was waiting for him to answer, but he said honestly nobody.
Yeah, I wish he would have just said, like, it was Kobe, duh, the dude who asked for an entire
this year. Kobe wasn't in the Breakfast Club this year.
No, I thought it was a reference to who might have been it last year.
No, they were talking about the early morning workouts. So unless Kobe has secretly been working out with them every morning, which somehow I don't think would be a secret if it was happening.
No, definitely not. Not with all the Kobe questions we still got today, which I think we hit the over.
I'm pretty sure we hit the over. I was very wrong about that last night. So we'll move on from Russell because we have one more of these. And it's from Tariq Black, and he was talking about Luke Walton being hired, and he called it, quote, it's a blessing from God.
I think, all right, so I gave the whole,
Hold on, just really quick for some context. He was talking about how excited he was to work with Luke again after working with him at Memphis when Luke was an assistant there briefly during the NBA lockout and mm-hmm. Tarik was a player there. And so there was context of their larger relationship. He's obviously very excited to be back around Luke because it seems like apparently everybody who's ever met him loves him. And so there was that context. And Tarik is also very openly religious. So he probably calls a lot of things blessings from God, maybe. But it was funny given how little playing time he got last year, despite providing seemingly exactly what the Lakers needed. That he was just basically, you know, people in the comments on Silver Screen and Roll were calling him milk carton because he was just missing and his picture should have been on the side. And it just didn't make any sense. And so with that context, it's hilarious to hear him call the new head coach a blessing from God. That's a 50. I'm sorry.
50.
That's a 50.
I'll go with you there. I'll jump on board.
You may not have even meant it, but like that's still a 50. That's a 50 even if it's accidental.
Right. No, I agree. And I do think, you know, because there is the whole, after everything I said about Russell and all that, I would say you could make the argument that Tarik was the most misused or in some cases abused. You know, the way he was spoken about.
Personal. Yeah.
Yeah. The way his game was analyzed by the last guy was really weird. And there was some, you know, I kind of get away from myself every so often. Shocker to everybody listening, I know. But there was some weird speculation going on as to what was, why did the last guy seem to openly hate Tarik Black?
And, yeah, I don't. Apparently, because he didn't, quote, play balls out enough. And, like, that's an actual quote. He actually said that when asked why Tarik was not playing, that he wasn't playing balls out enough.
And meanwhile, I think we found statistically, literally, we found stats saying that Tarik is actually one of the harder workers on the Lakers.
That was actually the time. I mean, Tarik probably was, if we were to look at it, but I don't remember doing it for Tarik, but I do remember doing it for Randall because it was said that he wasn't playing with enough energy, and I went and looked it up, and I think he was moving like the second fastest average speed on the team or something like that. Energy could have been first. You know, you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby. That's another coaching quote.
All right. We should end that on a 50. And just before we move on, I did want to touch on the entire vibe surrounding the Lakers this media day. And it doesn't have to do completely with the last coach. I think that would be unfair to pile it all on him. I don't think being Kobe's teammate is the greatest experience. Especially with all the hullabaloo that we heard today. Like, E. Gianleon was asked if he's reached out to Kobe since he signed with the Lakers.
That was amazing. Marcelo Huertas, you know, that was amazing.
And I'm sorry. Look, the purpose a lot of times for the people covering the team is to find stories that they think people are going to find the most interesting. And
people are interested in Kobe. Like, to be fair, I guess, like, in some cases, they have to ask the question. But it was very funny.
Right. So, to a certain extent, to be completely fair to those who ask those questions, I have to give that caveat. But that doesn't make it any less annoying if you're Kobe's teammate in that situation. Or if you're not even Kobe's teammate and you have to deal with Kobe questions, when I don't think Yee's ever said a single sentence to Kobe. Ever.
They've played against each other. They've played again. They've probably talked.
No.
Like, probably, I wouldn't imagine they've had, like, a personal conversation.
Like, if I were there for the scrum, and I don't think it happened in a scrum, I think Bresnahan asked him it on, for now it's Spectrum Sportsnet, right?
Or was it Tarik? Actually, I think it was, I don't remember who, it wasn't Brez that asked the question.
Brez. But if I was there for the scrum, my follow-up would have been, have you ever spoken to Kobe in your life? That would have been my follow-up.
Has been why Anthony's not in the scrum.
I just, I, I just, I couldn't. If I were E, I'd be a little annoyed at that, at the question. And he's right to be. He's completely right to be.
I don't know. He didn't seem annoyed. He just kind of was like, yeah, no, like he's not on the team. I haven't talked to him.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that was that. We definitely, like we said, we hit the over on Kobe questions. Yeah, that was kind of, but on the Kobe being a bad, not, you weren't saying he's a bad teammate. You were saying he's not the easiest to play with for reasons like that. And yeah. I think that that's fair. I think last year, you just listening to people talk about the team and the vibe, it just sounds like the players were tired of the circus of it all, that there were like 50 million reporters after every game asking them for what it meant to play with Kobe when he went 11 of 20 from the field against the Nuggets one night or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just this, like the entire circus that was his farewell tour. He had a documentary crew following him around, in addition to the documentary crew that already follows them around for backstage Lakers. And then, like, that's without even talking about all the extra media that are always around. Like, those guys probably felt like they never got a break. I can't blame them.
Right. And that's what I meant, is that for, it's not just, and that's to go on top of the stuff that I could see Kobe being tough to play with. Like, he's just, he asks a lot of his teammates, right? So you combine that with the hullabaloo that surrounds him, and everything, you know, compounds on itself. And I think you go into this year where the kids, I mean, they are the face, and they know they're the face, and they've been welcomed as such. The team has done, I thought, a very good job of saying, look, yes, we got these veterans, but at the end of the day, the potential star power rests within these kids. And that's got to be really exciting for this group.
Yeah, even Lou Williams today called them the stars of the team. Lou Aldang just kind of was talking about what he can do to help them and make things easier. Luke Walton was talking about how they're going to go as far as the young core can take them. But, like, you bring in these veterans for when things get tough and to teach them how to do the right things and things like that. Like, just the narrative around the team is very, we're going to raise these guys up with us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go as far as they aren't quite ready to carry us very far yet, but we're going to go as far as they take us, and mm-hmm. people should be patient. And that's essentially the vibe coming out of the franchise, which is kind of refreshing.
Absolutely. All right. So we went a little bit longer on 50 Shades of Shade and then that last vibe segment. So let's go ahead and jump right into a few other quotes or a few other storylines that we found interesting today, starting with Luke talking about Brandon Ingram. And the story surrounding that situation all offseason since Lou Aldang has been added has been Luol is the starter. That's the role that we have going into it. But I found it interesting today that Luke, I wouldn't say went out of his way to say it. He was asked the question. But he did say that if Brandon shows up and is the better player, that he would start, right? And then he also, I thought, here's the thing. I'm really impressed with Luke's ability to portray his message out to the media. That's a huge, that's a top priority for a head coach, because they wind up being the pseudo face of the franchise. They spend so much time in front of the cameras.
Credit to Luke. He made it through a whole media day without saying that three-pointers don't win championships.
Absolutely. So with what I found interesting today, he says that about Brandon, that if he is the better player, he's going to start. But he also added to that something along the lines of, but it's unfair to expect him to be that, right?
Yeah, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but that sounds about right.
And he cited Kobe, that even when Kobe showed up into the league, Ingram isn't your typical rookie because of how young he is. And he compared it to the situation with Kobe, that when he showed up, now the difference was Del Harris was a moron and the Lakers were in a completely different spot when they had
and
Kobe
was 17.
Right. But there are differences to be seen there. But he did say that when Kobe got to the NBA initially as a rookie, he wasn't quite ready to accept that role on that team and expecting.
Well, because Kobe better.
Yeah, and expecting Ingram to do that right now would be unfair. And the entire answer to me struck me as really well put together. And I think it continues with this precedent that's been set as soon as Luke was hired, that he knows what he's doing when he's talking to the media.
And that's also the type of thing that I think that's why these players want to work so hard for them, is because he's not going into camp with like, we're going to start our vets, you have to earn it, but they don't necessarily, because they've been around the league a long time and
they
know how to play basketball. And now it's like he's, you know, Ingram probably doesn't really have that much of a real shot at gaining the start. Like, he'd have to completely blow everyone away in camp, but that shot is, it's being said that it's there. He probably feels like it's actually there. And that's the type of thing that inspires you to work harder, I think.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. And I especially like that you painted the picture of the double standard that was in place over the last couple of years when it came to veterans and rookies. Anything else that you have to add on that?
No, I think we're good. I mean, we're going to find out a lot more tomorrow and over the next week and over the preseason. We have preseason a week from today by the time people are listening to this.
I can't wait. I honestly haven't been this excited about a Lakers season since 2012.
First of all, but I thought you were going to say since they beat what was the name of that team last year
in
the preseason. Maccabi Tel Aviv.
There you go.
Is that it? Oh,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that was
Maccabi
it. That was
Haifa.
It.
Haifa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what I just thought about saying. Yeah. We'll go ahead and we'll move on, though, to the next little tidbit here that I found interesting. And you kind of alluded to it already, talking about Luol Deng and what role he's ready to accept with the kids. And this is the reason I think it was a Silver Screen and Roll, or maybe it was a Lakers Outsiders. One of the two sites gave the exact quote that Deng offered. And I quoted it and I said, great signing, because that's exactly what we wanted to hear from him. He said that, look, I'm hoping to do everything that I possibly can for this team, but at the end of the day, I think my larger impact is going to, and this is, I'm paraphrasing, but his larger impact is going to be however he can mentor these kids. And that's a $72 million answer. That was perfectly said.
Yeah, I think he seems to have the perfect temperament, in addition to kind of being skill wise, kind of what the Lakers needed, and being a good guy for Brandon Ingram to learn from. He seems to have the exact right temperament for it. He seems very low key, kind of laid back guy. That seems to kind of have his, like, he knows what's up with this team. He knows what situation they're in. He doesn't seem like he just came. He's the type of veteran that came here and said, you know, hey, like, Kobe's leaving there, that's 25 shots available. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to shoot more than I've ever gotten to shoot and enjoy, you know, my early retirement in Los Angeles, essentially playing glorified pickup. That's not what he's here to do. he seems to be taking an ownership, and I think it sounds like he's taking some pride in helping these guys build their careers, in addition to, you know, helping them on the floor.
Absolutely. I already liked the signing for everything that you just talked about there, but hearing that today, and if you want to be cynical, you could say that he had the answer plan and that it's a lot easier to say that now, but if Ingram does eventually take that starting spot, then we'll really know how Deng might feel about it. But he looked really genuine as he said it, and he doesn't have the reputation of somebody who you would think or you'd have to worry about that kind of thing with. So that was great to hear.
Yep. I also thought, I mean, most of the veterans were just praising them throughout media day. It's like we talked about earlier. Timofey Mozgov said that they can change the world.
I wish he would have. Well, did you see? I hope you saw it. I would imagine you saw it. But when Russell sidled up next to Mozgov and Mozgov was talking about shooting three-pointers, he's like, shoot it. Shoot it. He's just a good – this is what I don't get, and I'm not going to get into a full-on rant, but when I hear rumors and rumors and rumors and rumors about how he's really hard to get along with, I think anybody in the situation he was in last year would be really hard to get along with after the fact.
And again, I'm grumpy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm grumpy if Taco Bell forgets my fire sauce. D'Angelo Russell spent an entire year getting crapped on, seemingly by multiple organizations and multiple members of the media. It was just, it was a nonstop hate fest to this kid. And I wouldn't blame him at all for being jaded after the fact. And it's and when you look at the way he kind of mingles with his teammates, and there's a really cool picture of him and Clarkson, and they look like they're ready to go. And then the bit with Mozgov today, and the way that teammates responded when he hit the game winner in Vegas, he seems like somebody who, yes, he could be difficult, but I also think he's somebody who, when he's on your side, he's on your side, and he's ready to roll.
And again, last year he was a teenager for the majority of the year. He's still just 20. Those guys aren't always the easiest to get along with. So I can kind of see both sides. Like, I don't think that it's necessarily this huge character flaw. I think part of it is just he's young.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move on. The next bit, and I don't know if we're necessarily going to make this news necessarily, but I do think that we witnessed a shift in the storyline regarding Nick Young. Right now, I've spoken a lot, so I'll let you take the lead on this. But we talked about this before the show. I do think that we saw some stuff today that would make you think differently about the situation.
Well, he just seemed to kind of, like everyone else, he was being very positive. The people were talking, his teammates were talking very positively about him, and he seemed to kind of be back to the Nick Young that we remember being kind of the fun-loving court jester with Mike D'Antoni. He just seemed that he had a smile on his face. He was saying now that he's one of the old heads on the roster, he wants them to call him Uncle P instead of Swaggy P. And Russell and him both said that things were fine, and that's easy to say, but I mean, until there's an issue, we kind of have to just take them at their word, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed to overall be kind of it seemed to be the Nick Young image rehabilitation tour a little bit.
Right, and on that note, I would say that it seemed like something that the Lakers sent out ahead of time. Look, the Lakers and Spectrum Sportsnet are corporate partners. And if the Lakers want a message out there, they just have to send a note, right? That's how that's why, you know, Katie Nolan had a great bit on you know, ESPN and the NFL being partners, and how TMZ has taken a larger role in journalism because they aren't as such. And so when I see multiple questions from Geeter to Luke, and when I see questions from Geeter to Nick and Geeter to D'Angelo, having Nick on that stage in the first place at all seems like something that the Lakers wanted sent across. Because like I said last night, or like we said last night, the Lakers benefit from Nick Young rehabbing his image to the point where he has some kind of value, whether productive value for the Lakers moving forward or trade value that he simply does not have right now. And that's kind of how I read the situation today.
Yeah, I could see how you'd read it that way being in PR. I think being on kind of the other side of journalism, I think that is also those were storylines. That's what you have to ask about to some degree. I think like that's the kind of thing that I think people want some follow up on. It's a weird situation for them to be teammates. So to be fair, I think to some degree you have to ask it. I don't think even if the Lakers did want it asked, I think that anyone would. They got asked about that by the local beat guys too when they weren't on TV.
I'd roll with that if Young wasn't on the stage on the set, you know, didn't appear on the set with them. But Young actually jumping on set with them and getting minutes in front of the camera with James and with Geeter, that tells me that there might be something going on. And if there is something going on behind the scenes, then that's perfectly fine. That's smart PR by the Lakers to try to clean this up and get this going in the right direction before something terrible happens and it goes in the wrong one.
Yeah, I don't know. I view it less that way than you do, I think. But, I mean, that's just also by virtue of the way that we look at things.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, Harrison believes in journalism. I do not. So let that paint the picture of how you hear our exchanges from now on. All right, we'll move on to the last one here. And this was something that you pointed out, and I'll go ahead. I don't want to take words out of your mouth, so go ahead and talk about. Man, I was hoping we would get through the entire show without me asking a talk about question, considering how many talk about questions we heard today.
Okay. Well, you've had your fill of criticizing the media now, so I'll just go ahead and talk. I did think that it was interesting that, you know, so many of the players were talking about that there was uncertainty in their role. They weren't sure what position they were going to play. And I think that that kind of speaks to our earlier point about Ingram and Luke. And there really is an opportunity for a lot of these guys that we've talked about all of last week, you know, their battle for backup minutes at various spots in camp. I think there's real opportunities there of the sort that we discussed. Like, I know E.G. Onleon, when he was getting interviewed, they asked him if he was going to play more of the four or the five. He said he didn't really know. He was preparing to play both. And just a lot of the guys that they were saying, I mean, they gave the platitudes about how we're going to play faster, we're going to move the ball, we want to get better on defense. But I did think that it was interesting that so many of them weren't 100% sure what their role was going to be. And I guess maybe that's not necessarily abnormal given that they haven't practiced yet, but I do think that it's interesting that they're going to be given a shot at multiple. I think it kind of speaks to that culture of experimentation that I think it was the hope that Luke would bring from Golden State, where you try unorthodox things. You give Draymond Green a shot at backup center minutes and mm-hmm. that type of thing. I think it just, that kind of experimenting and messing with lineups, that's what we've wanted to see the last couple of years.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I'd have been disappointed if they all walked in and said, yeah, it looks like I'm going to be the backup center. I'm going to play 10 minutes a game, and that's about it that I'm looking
forward
to. Luke
already sketched out the rotation sheet. He handed them out on the way in.
He wrote it in Sharpie, so it's not even erasable. There's nothing we can do about it at this point. So, yeah, I agree with you, and it does – it should get people excited about the possibilities of what we might be able to watch this year. I don't think there's a situation where a lineup that everybody is pointing to, that everybody would want to see, won't get used, and we won't be able to explain why it wouldn't be used.
And we also aren't going to spend, I would think, 20 games seemingly kind of pointless increments of, okay, we're going to experiment with this lineup for 20 games, no matter how badly it's going.
That's a good point, too.
And so, yeah. Like, Ryan Kelly is our backup center for the next 20 games. I don't care that he got layupped around 700 times tonight. You know, we're going to keep trying it because we're gonna get through these 20 games, and then I'm going to figure out the next 20 games what I'm going to write in on my rotation sheet.
Right. Absolutely. All right, so that's all we have on what we saw, how we took media day today. It was fun. Like we said, all show, the vibe around the Lakers is fun, and it gets you all the more excited to start hearing about, you know, how different training camp battles are coming to be, how the rotation might be looking when we finally do get to watch a game a week from whenever you guys are listening to the show. That'll be all the more fun because we have a little bit momentum going into those games than we did last year. So a fun day today, and it just continues with the theme that we've hit all season. And at the end of the day, this show gets more listenable when the Lakers are more fun to talk about. I feel like that's so everybody benefits when the Lakers are fun to talk about. And today was another example of such the case.
I agree. I'm excited. I'm excited to be in the building for their first preseason game, and we'll have more for you then. And the rest of this week, we're talking about training camp and how kind of those rotation battles are shaking out in the early going.
Absolutely. And you're going to be in the building, so how are we going to do the live show? We will figure that out
off the air, probably. I would imagine.
But those of you who are new to the show, we do a live show after as many games as we possibly can. When Harrison isn't being all difficult and being a journalist and stuff. Anywho, we will talk to everybody later.
All right,
If you missed
remember,
any
if you want to, if you want to also be in the game, make sure that you use SeatGeek, and you can use it on your phone. It's really easy to use on mobile, and use the code LOLakers for a free $20 rebate on your purchase, and support them for supporting the show. I mean, we do this show for you guys daily, and we appreciate you guys tuning in, and you know, we like it when you support our sponsors.
Absolutely, you're keeping the lights on, even though the light above me just refuses to work. For some reason. If you missed any of the shows from last week, they were all really good. We did the positional predictions and analysis for how that might break down. So subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way to make sure you don't miss any shows. Leave us reviews, preferably 5-star. But if you give us, you know, 4 stars, it better be a really good reason. Like Anthony's sounds
don't,
like
don't give them the standard scouting report on everything that's wrong with you from the comment section.
But yeah, leave the reviews, subscribe to the show, or you can find it on Audioboom. Silver Screen and Roll circulates it. Today's Fast Breaks circulates it. Tune in and Stitcher. They have our RSS feeds. Find the shows there. Like Harrison said, use the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek, and we will talk to everybody again tomorrow. Have a good
Thanks
one.
Thanks for having me on, Anthony.
Shouts to John Sally.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.